call this workshop to order, Board of Port Townsend, September 11th, 2013. We're here at the Timber House Restaurant in Quilcene. And we can begin this with the 2014 budget discussions.
All right, this is a continuation of our budget discussions. Just to remind everybody, we'll adopt it probably in November. It's one of the two meetings there. We normally do that before Thanksgiving. It has to be recorded down to Olympia by the first week in December, which is different from cities and counties that are early on an earlier schedule. What we got today is Amy's going to present several items from mortgage rate spreadsheets to what the property tax looks like. And a few other topics, we talked about marketing, we talked about perhaps a historic vessel rate. We've got other rates and fees that we need to discuss, from environmental on up. So we just start, in order for Amy to put together a first draft, we're going to need some direction from the commission on some of these items. So Amy, I'll turn it over to you.
So I do apologize for not getting this in Dropbox. My temporary living quarters didn't.
Now that's a pretty good, valid excuse.
We didn't have a scanner.
We had no scanner.
It's funny how those scans come and go.
So did you need copies, guys? No. So I have put together the the rate increase analysis. I will put together another presentation, Dave, to explain this a little more. So currently we're at 38 cents a square foot. The three pages here are doing a half cent increase, a 1 cent increase, and a cent and a half increase. And basically what it's doing is taking the 38 and a half, on the first one, it's taking the 38 and a half cents a square foot times the slip size, and it calculates it all out with the leasehold tax. But as you can see, if we did a half cent increase, we would be looking at revenue without leasehold tax of $955,000, which is about a $10,000 increase over the current, and that's assuming full capacity. So.
Now, is that full capacity based on the fact that we're 99% now, based on the
this
fact?
This is just taking every slip. Oh. So we adjusted a little bit within the budget. This is, if we were at 100%, it would be about that. And then with a 1 cent increase, those revenues would go to about $965,000, which would be about a $21,000 increase over the current. And if we went to a cent and a half increase, that would put us at almost $976,000, which would be about a $31,000 increase over the current. So those are just some of the rates to start looking at, thinking about if we want to do any kind of increase. These are some of the.
That's what they result in.
Right.
And I think my recommendation to you would be that if you take any, that increase goes into the Boat Haven Reserve account. So it'll be spent in the Boat Haven for future maintenance and repair and that sort of thing.
What's our expense side look like? Just to use this to compensate for expenses.
This is very, very preliminary, but here's a very rough draft of revenues and expenses.
But can you just tell me
approximately we're looking at about 3.8 million operating, that's another one.
But an increase in expenses.
Increase in expenses are roughly $200,000.
So increase in expenses.
Correct. Very rough at this point. you know, I haven't spent a lot of, the only thing I've really focused on are the salary and benefit side of expenses at this point. And we don't even have all of the tax increases and benefit increases to take those into account. So, I mean, we're looking, I would say, at least a $200,000 increase in expenses over what was budgeted last year.
Now, on that, I guess last week or so, I've gotten several letters in the mail from the state on my medical insurance. I don't know if everybody else has been getting it or not. You know, with the Obamacare thing and things I should be looking at and doing, and is that going to impact our expenses at all, or?
Possibly. I mean,
the state insurance guy, I forget his name, he was on some talk radio today. I have to hear him, and he was saying that there could be, you know, some impact to governments.
Right. I know Donna's been getting some information. You know, I haven't seen it and told to see what it's going to do, but I would imagine, you know, healthcare hasn't gone down in recent years, so.
Well, it was going up 15% a year for a while.
Yeah.
And 1 year or 17%.
And the expense side of thing, like I said, that's very, very rough draft at this point. I just started to compare where we were at June of 13 versus June of 12 and how the year ended in 12. And I'm trying to anticipate what will come in the end of 13. And, you know.
Do we have any other significant increases in revenue?
Well, that's what we're going to determine. You mean just as a natural
last year?
Nothing real significant. Most mortgage revenue is about $9,000 higher. The work yard is up a little bit over last year at June.
When you say work yard, you mean shipyard or the
work
yard? Okay.
The small yard is up. The shipyard is actually down. In June of 12, the shipyard was at $342,000, and at June of 13, it was $292,000. However, we need to keep in mind that we've pulled the environmental revenue out of all of those lines, so that's down in the environmental side now. So that is a factor in all of the cost centers right now. You know, we will see an increase in revenue at Point Hudson Properties.
Oh, due to the rentals of the facilities?
So we'll see a sizable increase there. So
but
we'll
our expenses will increase.
Correct.
Due to the payments on the
building. Yep.
And actually, we're getting some more revenue from City Dock and Union Wharf and those places because of the $500 per berthing thing of the big boats. And are we getting any more from little boats here at all? Are people paying for the small?
Well, we just got all the Iron Ranger and the signs and all that.
All set up down there?
Right. So we may get a little bit here towards the end of the season, but you know, we missed the first of the season because we're still in flux taking over the city. But it's not going to be a huge, if you remember, we also said any revenues that we take in on those two piers would stay to help maintain them so they don't become a liability to the rest of our revenues.
So basically, we're going backwards.
A little bit.
On this budget document of yours,
yes,
it says percentage increase or decrease for the month of June. Is that what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just trying to compare where we were at June of 12 versus June of 13.
And that's the figure that you get a year apart.
Yes.
For that percentage of increase and decrease. Because there's some percentages in here that seem a little bit skewed, just looking at it ever so briefly.
Well, and like I said, this is very, very preliminary. Mm-hmm. So I mean, some of the formulas could have gotten tweaked and
Yeah, I think that without a doubt, some are tweaked.
But I'm more looking at the actual numbers versus those percentages right now.
And then there's another one here. Must be very preliminary.
Now, keep in mind, too, we're getting back into the fall season where we see a lot of activity in the shipyards with the commercial guys coming back from Alaska. So see how that turns out.
Yeah.
Well, with reference to the Boat Haven rates, mortgage rates, Larry, what was, when you got that survey of rates?
Yeah, I sent that out to you.
Yeah.
That Port of Bellingham survey?
Port of Bellingham did it. Those are all still current.
So how do we stand in there?
Across the board, we're the lower third compared to everybody else, all the other ports. And private marinas, and in a couple of cases, I think we're like next to the bottom, one or two of the lengths. I don't have that written here.
Remembering back on there, you highlighted it. It definitely looked like you're in the lower third.
So we have to decide whether we're going to raise it a half a cent or a cent or a half, what a cent and a half.
Well, we have to decide if we're going to raise it at all, and
that's
a guideline as to how much.
Yeah.
But again, we've used that Boat Haven Reserve account to do a lot of maintenance and repair over the last year or so. And our intent is to continue with that. It takes money, so. My recommendation would be to do something, but put it into that reserve account for future maintenance.
And it would just be the increase that you're speaking about?
Yeah.
Well, I think that we were
talking. Well, we're doing, remember,
we're doing
another 10,000.
Yeah, right.
Now.
But this would be in addition to that. Right, which could very easily double that figure with even our lowest adjustment if we were to adjust.
Remember, that's an annual
increase. Yeah, that's annual.
Monthly. We're doing 10,000 a month. 10,000
a year. Yeah. Good.
So I remember.
If you did a half cent, we're talking like $800 a month.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember that when we did that $10,000, we decided that that was getting started and we could revisit that if we didn't feel it was sufficient. And I don't think we've actually revisited that yet.
Well, not yet.
It might be an interesting thing to look at how much we have spent out of the reserve fund this year to aid in our thinking on that.
That's a good idea. That'll help us figure it out.
Well,
and what kind of prospects we have in the future. You know, what are we looking at for CD Doc, you know, as far as total and how we're situated right now in regard to that.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget Quilting.
And Quilting, yes.
And not to forget the boat ramp.
And as of July 31st, there was $580,000 in Boat Haven Reserve Fund. So, you know, we've spent several hundred thousand out of there. So that was just over $1 million. Right around the million mark. So right now we're sitting at $580,000 out of the boat reserve.
Out of it or in it?
In it. Okay. There's $580,000 in it. And this has 1 month of transferring the $10,000.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to take, say, the half cent increase plus continue with the $10,000, that's $120,000, so a little over $130,000 to go in. For that account, if we didn't do anything, then it would be well up over $600,000,
mm-hmm.
which is $700,000. And it might be, you know, depending on what projects we decide to do, just, you know, when you factor in the timeline where you have to go out, you got to develop the scope of work and go out on the street for 30 days to get bids and go through the whole contracting process. You know, it's not something that's probably going to happen immediately. It might be, it should probably be after July again. You just got to wait for the salmon fish window to close in July, so mid-July. So
just so I get an idea of how much a project costs, that CD, or the commercial basin one we just did, how much is that?
$289,000, I think.
Right, we haven't gotten the final on that, but... $289,000.
And so if it's similar in scope to the commercial, to the CD, then after we finish the CD Doc, which is probably going to be next year.
Yep.
$500,000 project, so that our Fort Haven Reserve Fund would be empty, essentially.
But I'm not sure if CD is up there, at least on my priority. I was down here watching the Goldstein Dock, took a lot of photographs, and stopped by Mass Matt's ramp on the way back up to look at that. And over the next, you know, week or so, we'll be heading up to Gardner's. We've got some issues out there. And
yeah, I think I'll stop by Gardner on the BDD meeting day.
So I think the riprap is similar to the Mass Mats. It's falling away from the concrete slab.
And right.
A lot of that is normal maintenance, and that's something in the budget, too. We need to decide is what's our maintenance budget.
Right.
Yeah, you know, these things aren't necessarily capital projects, like a Goldstein redo or C or D dock. You know, these things that we can handle in-house, you know, for $300,000, which is what we've been, if you remember, when did I increase it to $300,000? About 7 years ago. You know, maintenance was only about half that. Yeah, so I slipped that into a budget and the commission approved it. I don't know if you're aware of that, but yeah, just so we can keep after more and more of these maintenance things.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was because when we get Point Hudson back with all the dilapidated buildings, you know, our workload and maintenance went up many fold. So. But a lot of decisions. How about this, for just so we keep the budget process moving? What if we, in starting to build the budget, we threw in the half cent? And so you just see what that will do. And we'll go through a couple of 2-3 drafts on the budget. We can see how the numbers will go up or down. And bottom line.
I'd personally like to see the first draft budget with no mortgage increase.
No mortgage.
Yeah, just I would like to take a look at that and see, and then, you know, I think that would be a valuable exercise.
And continue with the 10,000 transfer to
correct.
The
yeah.
reserve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the half cent, 1 cent, 1 cent and a half, it follows like 1% increase, 2% increase, and 3% increase. Keep in mind that CPI alone is running 2.3% right now.
2.3?
Just to keep up with CPI, we almost have a percent. So that's just out there.
CPI is 2 point something, and a cent and a half. I mean, a cent was how many percent? 2%. Hmm.
So
you're not able to keep up with CPI unless you do something over a penny.
Yeah. So I would think that maybe we could, in doing the budget projections, do a flat one with no increase, and then maybe a comparable to how that would change if you had a penny. You know, it's basically a CPI. Well,
it's going to be a line item on the budget. So, I mean, you could just scratch out the line item and put in the increase rate and come up with a pretty quick comparison.
That'd be a way to do that.
I'm just saying, as a baseline, let's just try flat and see how that affects us. And then the increases will be relatively apparent, I would think. Because you can just scratch in these figures. But I think adding in it's almost like we're deciding right now a mortgage rate increase that way.
So we just have it just flat and then have the different.
Then we have this sheet here that we can. Put in to change the bottom line when we're using that bottom line to figure out other things like our overall P&L.
And then the other one that I have are the various property tax scenarios. If we current year in 2013, the actual tax collected will be $884,791. If we took no increase for 2014, it would stay the same. If we took a 1% increase, that would be an increase of $8,847, taking us to $893,000. Or if we took the full levy capacity, our bank capacity and the increase, which would be equal to a 2.4336% increase, that would be an increase of $21,000, just over $21,000 in property taxes for $906,000 in property tax revenues.
So it was determined that we had the ability to take our bank increase?
We do have the ability. We worded our resolution to allow for that.
Good. How did we get a...
within one resolution. What was that?
How did we get a 0.4? I mean, isn't it a 1% per year, and so you'd end up with even percentages?
Not according to Mr. Westerman, no. These are the numbers that he gave me. So with that bank capacity and the current year increases, that's what it comes out to.
Because I would have thought we would have had 3 based on not taking it, right?
That's how I prepared it, and this is what he gave me back.
So it sounds to me like our true bank capacity is in the percent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because based on new construction and just all of those formulas, what comes into play, this is the final one.
So the county's not skimming off the top, right?
No.
Somebody's skimming some percentage points.
Well, the property taxes
went down, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables.
The assessed values went down quite a bit. So with all those variables that come into play, this would be the percentage.
Now, is there a cap on bank capacity if we don't take the property tax again this time?
Do we get to bank more?
I think you can bank more.
Isn't there a cap?
There
like
is a
6%
cap, but
I'm
pretty sure it's higher than that.
So
I want to say it's about 6.
So that would be 6% instead of 6 times, because 6 times might equate after all the ramifications that they do only being like 4%.
Well,
so that'd be 6%, right?
Yeah. Well, I doubt it.
Well, I mean, that's what we need to find out, if the actual bank capacity is 6%. Because then we could take it 7 times, perhaps, to get 6%, if we wanted to save, you know, for a big deal.
It depends on the tax rates change.
So I think the bottom
have
line
to not take tax for the next 2 or 3 years to get up to 6%.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then and then you have the ability to bank up to 6%.
Right.
But when it comes time to cash in at the bank, they don't pay you 6%.
Right, they're going to factor in.
Yeah, they only pay you a percentage of the
6%. Yeah. So in other words, really, you only have 6 times that you can bank your 1%.
And I can verify all of that.
Because it'd be nice to know if we could, if at 6 times you only ended up with 5%, you could then bank the next year and end up getting it closer to 6%.
Well, they only allow you to do it 6 times.
Yes, I'm not sure if it's 6.
So if we took the increase and the bank amount, we'd get 20, additional 20. And if we took the 1.5 cent, we'd get another 31, so we'd end up with roughly $50,000 increase in revenue.
Correct.
Thanks.
But the tax increase is not a one-time, it's in perpetuity, so that bank capacity is worth a lot of money.
Right, because then you're at that level the next time.
Yeah, as property values go up, you know, if you took all that this year and suddenly the economy took off and property values, you know, doubled next year, then your property tax, you know, you're going to get paid even more in the future. So it's those exponential things.
As your citizens and your taxpayers will also pay more each year.
They would pay more. And of course, with all the things, you just saw the library go down in flames, talking to one of the people on the Metropolitan Park District.
That's not looking very good.
That's not looking good. She said they may recommend that go away, you know, the whole concept.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was somebody on the board is going to recommend that it goes away?
Well, she was there on Friday, and I were down in the booth. Remember that gal from Pilsen?
Kathleen Clear?
Kathleen, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mentioned, I joked with her, I saw her picture on the front page of the paper. And
right.
She said it's not going good. So. Mm. And it's all, you know, that would have been a huge tax increase. So. tax.
Yeah, those are all property tax increases that people are balking at.
But again, in the, if you look at the pie shape of all the property tax for all the governments, you know, the school districts, the city, the county, and you throw the port and fire district, put them all in there, our little piece of the pie is not much bigger than the width of the number two pencil.
It's a tiny piece of the pie, but there's also some considerations when you're talking about increasing taxes. There's some inevitabilities that are going to come along in increasing property taxes this time around, like the emergency services, and you know, people are going to get socked pretty hard. The city's facing a pretty sizable crisis with their utilities situation. You know, I think that needs to be taken into consideration no matter what size the slice of the pie is for the port. And you know, with the understanding that it's definitely the most productive slice of pie out there.
Right, and we've already passed a resolution many years ago that all tax revenue would go into infrastructure to improve economic development. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go to frivolous things.
No. No, but that's a small slice of pie in the argument for increased taxes also.
Yep.
So I will continue to refine the proposed budget and try to get more accurate numbers as they come along, you know, and put no rate increases and such, but if there's areas, other areas that you want me to look at, I mean, the utilities, I haven't spent
a lot of time on those.
You know, as far as what our utility costs will be, you know, there's an increase in water, garbage, just those things that, you know, I haven't been able to spend a lot of time into what that will mean to us. But
now, what about with our agreement with the city on the Cotai?
Right.
We don't have to pay stormwater fees anymore to the city.
Right.
So it's a savings.
It's a savings, and we've been working with the city over the last month trying to get all the properties that the city will no longer be charging stormwater,
yeah,
and then we will
that.
Be charging stormwater. So we're still refining that list with
the
city.
So that's technically new revenue.
Right.
And
$25,000 net, $12,000 not paying, $12,000 collecting.
Right.
But that's,
we also,
that's going to go into a
environmental.
Right, we all exactly dedicate that to the environmental. But still, it's new revenue at the bottom line on the last page of the budget.
Yeah, it's a relief for our environmental responsibilities budget. But it's a push, pretty much, because our environmental costs are going to increase.
They're exponential.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on that, we were just talking about it. We're waiting for Landau to give us the engineer estimate on what
the new improvements,
the improvements you want to do with stormwater came in at 123, which is, I thought, I was planning 200. So that's not too bad.
And what does that entail? Does that entail the biochar things at the end, or
everything in the level three
response? That level three response we gave you.
Right.
The whole, we did the whole suite.
How much did you they guess?
123,
which basically is our entire environmental budget for this year.
For this year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll be getting more funds next year.
So what Al's working with is maybe not doing the whole thing, doing it in phases. In the first phase, take tests, see if it's improved. We may be able to go through two or three of the items instead of going through the whole suite of five. So they're working on that right now.
Oh,
we're still waiting on DOE's buy-off on the
Landau report
itself. That could be months before we get that.
Mm-hmm.
But that begs the other question there. There's other rates and fees out there. Do we want to look at anything else? Yard fees, environmental fees, boat ramp fees?
I think that with this almost newfound emphasis on our treatment situation, that environmental fees are definitely going to factor into our budget decision-making process, and that would be one fee that would be resultingly left alone or increased, I would say. I would think that would warrant a little closer look. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, we need to figure out how much our environmental work costs us, because according to this, we have $133,000 budgeted in, well, have $138,000 in the 2013 budget. And we now have Al, full-time environmental guy. How much is he getting paid? So that, how much does that leave us to do stuff like land out? We need to figure out where we really stand.
And I did not think to bring the where we're at currently, the July month.
Well, I think that should be one thing we should look at when that information is available.
Right.
Yeah. I think we might be might be kind of light on that. I think that the environmental is going to be the new medical, you know, the thing that just goes galloping away and taking all your extra money.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be going that way. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Dave?
No.
You know, if you don't set a rate that makes the environmental as close to self-supporting, it's going to be a drain on mortgage, it's going to be a drain on the yard, it's going to be a drain on every other facility.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So,
why don't we come up with costs that you want to throw Al's salary into that cost?
I think that would be viable. And actually, in Al's regard, I can see where he is soon going to be overwhelmed with responsibilities in that position. And I think that we should look at increasing that position, because it is the pivotal thing for the success of the boatyard.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I really think that budget
needs... Let's come up with all the costs and see what that figure looks like. Back into whether we should change any rates or fees. And there's other costs that I guess we need to look at our tone sheets a little bit.
Other people involved in environmental?
Well, I'm heavily involved in it. I probably spend on a monthly basis easily 8 to 10% of my time.
Haven't we kind of made that possible by developing this separate environmental budget now?
Well, we could. Yeah, we need a separate code like this. Spent a whole day on the Boatyard Committee a week ago.
And we have that. Maintenance charges off quite a bit of times. They're doing different things. The yard guys will charge off a certain amount of time.
The executive category is this
$1,000
thing.
Right, and then with that, then it gets split out over all of them. So
the biggest expense is garbage. Over $30,000 in garbage expense.
And that's going up 28%.
So, I mean, if that happens, I just don't know how we can continue accepting these garbage.
Well, we've got some issues to address there.
Yeah.
Yes, which is why I say Al's job is rapidly.
He seems to be on top of it pretty much. Yeah. He uses port maintenance staff and the yard staff whenever it's convenient. They know what to do. They're kind of...
He's been pretty good at working with the yard. If they've got a slow afternoon where they don't have boats to haul out, you know, grab one or two of the guys to go help clean out in Barrow Center or something.
Right, yeah.
He seems to be really on top of it.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. But the expenses are going to continue to increase nonetheless.
Yeah.
My biggest concern is what's going to face us in 2015. When they rewrite the boatyard permit, DOE rewrites it. Now we'll be involved in that process, just like we were last time, where I spent a lot of time down Olympia lobbying the, for the word benchmark instead of standard.
Yeah.
The huge victory. So, still.
Well, I think what's going to happen is going to be a blessing and a curse. It'll be a occurs in the fact that we'll have a lot more responsibilities and Al might have to be doubled. The blessing is that, you know, I shouldn't say blessing, it's some of these small boatyards that can't afford to be remain compliant will go away, and then that would just make us more busy. Because today, there's a friend of mine from Tacoma, he brought his sailboat up here to haul it out because the little yard that he used to go to said they're not, can't remember where it was, in Tacoma somewhere, they went away because they could withstand their environmental stuff, so they came here.
And we're down to 65 boatyards now. Used to be over 80.
So.
All right, we'll put that together on environmental, all the true costs. We saw estimates in there, but still.
Right. But it'll be the most realistic financial picture we've had to date.
Yeah.
Is this union here or not?
No. No union contract. We're still living on last contract. Yeah. Next December 2014, we'll renegotiate that.
But we have the option to just write a letter and
just continue.
And continue for 1 year, right?
Union seems pretty content right now. I don't think we'll hear a lot, but again, it won't affect the 2014 budget.
No. It's built in for a 2%.
Right. So. Are there any other rates or fees that you want us to look at and bring data back for you? You know, similar to the moorage, I know a lot of marine trades don't like to hear it, but we are the lowest in the state for boatyard rates. Leave them that way, or?
I had a constituent come up to me yesterday and say we should even be lower than the lowest.
Well, that's fine, but keep the yard open. If you
yeah, want. I know, we got to keep the yard open, so, and we got to have the structure to support the yard.
Now also, just keep in mind when it comes to rates and fees, you don't have to do all right now as part of the budget. Yeah. We have the authority that if, you know, come April or something, we say, geez, you should have raised XYZ rate, you know, you still have that authority to do that. It's just that now is an opportunity to take a look at everything if you want to incorporate it.
Well, I think like Leif's suggestion, we could take a look at it with yard rates the same as this year, and then if we decided to do something, we could have a line in there that if you increased like environmental by so many percent, this is what you get, and if you increased square footage yard by the X amount, this is what you get. But I think more important than that is competitive rates, I mean, comparables around the sound, because as much as we don't like to, you know, think that we're in competition with all the other yards, and so we gotta make it too cheap, like for mortgage, for example, when everybody in the world wants it, and we would never be able to get a slip, you know, if you're too cheap.
Well, we're so already at 97-98% full, so you're
right.
Not gonna.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think
you're losing money if you reduce rates.
Right, and so with that in mind, I think we need to keep in mind that we want to be affordable for the guys that want to come in and work on their own boats, because that's one of the things we have, is you can work on your own boat, and those guys that do that are the guys like me that want to save some money, and so we want to keep it the lower end, but we don't want to get down too low that we can't maintain the infrastructure thing open. So I would say just start off with where we are now.
Yeah, keeping in mind that an increase in environmental fees is an increase in yard rates.
Right, and that can't be absorbed if we want
and
to keep
boat
it.
The boat owner doesn't. Yeah, you just see how much do I owe you, bottom line.
Right. Yeah, we can make a budget that is even more clear than our existing budget, and it will still not be understood as anything other than an increase in rates. So I'm really afraid that we're going to be forced into increasing environmental fees dramatically, and that is an increase in yard rates. So,
well, talking to the other boat yards a week ago at the committee meeting, I don't think you can find another yard that allows individual boat owners to do
maintenance,
all the work that we allow to be done in our yard. There's a few yards like Edmonds, little allow boat owners to do certain things while they're in the yard, like varnishing.
Edmonds doesn't have it. Oh, Edmonds does.
Edmonds does, yep. I was thinking of Kingston. Yeah, no, they got 35 ton. And,
doesn't Kingston have some kind of arrangement?
Not all.
No, not anymore.
So things like bottom paint and all that, you got to hire marine trade to do it, you know, not yourself. So you're going to see more and more of that because of the environmental rules. When you're the boatyard owner and the one that is being held legally responsible, suddenly you get a little bit more draconian in your rules and what you allow the people to do. So
I think we need to look at in-water environment too. This year we've had over 15 spills to be responded to. So those need to be looked at.
Many of which we don't know who caused it. You know, just come in and some report a slick in the marina and we have to clean it up. Staff time and materials and we spent $500 to that.
How does our in-water refueling, is that, have we had any spill problems with that?
Not with the fuel dock, I'm aware of.
Not with the fuel dock, but I mean the trucks that come down.
Oh, the trucks, no.
That is really responsive. They have an environmental person on the truck. It's really good.
Now these are the...
We're bound by 9,000 gallons, which is a lot of fuel.
I mean, that's our minimum?
That's our maximum. Maximum we can do. Yeah. Over what?
At a time?
That's a DOE rule.
For how do they interpret?
You're a class 2 facility, and you need a whole other booming materials and everything else in place, like hard booms, if you're going for
where you actually have to deploy it before you start fueling.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so one hearing is we'll work up a budget, leaving all the rates alone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring back what we feel is the true cost of environmental. That's it for now. Another area, though, that we've talked about the last several meetings is marketing. I just made some notes here under marketing. What's our marketing plan? Who are we marketing to? What are we marketing? Currently, we have no facilities or property available. Need inventory, in parentheses, I wrote in, port a Walla Walla experience. And then, what do we spend now? And when I say the Walla Walla experience at the Economic Development Conference, Jim Koontz, the director of Walla Walla, was there. I think most have been over there to see the success story for a port that has the same operating budget. You know, they turn property left and right. You know, when the property becomes available, they'll look at it, but they won't act on it for 1 year to allow local real estate interests to do something. Yeah, so they're not criticized that they're in competition with the locals. After a year, though, the promising property, whether it's land or an existing building, they buy it and essentially flip it. And their success stories, now they're in a different community, they have rail and they have the city and the county that are totally on board with economic development. But they've brought 600 or 700 jobs to their community over the last 5 years with some of these properties. And their big thing, what Kuhn said, they don't market themselves. What they do is they always have an inventory of properties. Bare land, buildings, etc. And that markets itself because the businesses that are looking to expand or relocate are actively seeking the communities that have the available inventory. You know, and your local EDC will be promoting those properties, etc. And he said it's worked great. You know, they don't spend a penny on advertising that they've got this building available or this land available. So our problem is we don't have anything available. Now, yes, we got the 24-acre light industrial out at the airport. It took us 10 years to get rezoned, but it's not available yet. You know, we're going to have to put in the infrastructure and everything before we can say that's available. would say at least 3 years in current economics. So I don't know if we want to market. Now, we do put ads in trade magazines and all that. And I don't know if we got that figure approximate. But if we want to do more marketing, I don't know what our plan is.
Well, we market ourselves at the Fish Expo and the boat shows quite effectively, I think.
I mean, I agree with you, Larry. There needs to be a long-term goal set for what's going to become of the Port of Port Townsend in the future. And as far as marketing is concerned, I don't really know if that's the discussion where that needs, the forum where that discussion needs to take place. But I do think it deserves some thought. And the idea that I've heard that I find the most palatable is what happens to the property of the mill if something should ever change down there. And that, and a long-term situation might be to look at that, you know, as becoming the most natural way to go for that path of having industrial development. But that's a long-term goal.
Yeah, that's a strategic maneuver there. Marketing.
But, you know, marketing is fairly self-explanatory when you consider that we do have marine trades sector in place, and one of the wishes of that sector has been to, although there are many different business philosophies operating in the Port Townsend, one of the things that have come up is to market that business and market our yard, which we're operating it, and it's in operable condition. And it would be the most easy and direct thing. And I found it to be interesting that we just begin to really single out marketing, like we're singling out environmental, you know, and coming up with some meaningful figures on that process. But it just seems to me that, you know, a bird in the hand or two in the bush, you know, we've got a bird in the hand. And, you know, it's debatable as to how many jobs are there, but it's certainly comparable to the mill or the healthcare industry here in Jefferson County. It's a big one. It's right up there at the top. So if our marketing plan, I kind of feel, should be directed towards what we already have been successful at.
Well, I guess the port on their website is marketing individual businesses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's...
And we've offered over the years to do free web pages for businesses. I think we've had 7 people take us up on that. I guess what I would recommend under marketing is kind of continue what we're doing. We're going back to the Seattle Boat Show. Mm-hmm. You know, we can argue the benefit of that or not.
Can't we ever?
So I think from a budget standpoint, is where I'm approaching this, is we'll put in, obviously, the Fish Expo and then the January Seattle show and continue with our other marketing that we've been doing all along, you know, targeting certain publications and everything. And, of course, we're at the Wooden Boat Festival, too.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm asking, is there anything beyond that that you think we should be doing?
Well, I think some discussion about a long-term plan would be totally appropriate, because we're only going to be able to get so much juice from that rock of marine trades, and then we need to be thinking beyond that as to, we kind of have been, but it hasn't been a direct discussion for that purpose only. Because we've been, the industrial park enters into that, whether we want to get more into the local ag situation, agriculture situation.
That could be. Sign coming down Center Valley, ag tourism sucks.
You know, one of the areas I think we can improve on is new electronic media. I'm on a committee with the city. There's city strategic plan that they're doing. They're doing a lot with Facebook and Twitter and a lot of other things that we're not doing. And I really think we're going to need to get into that because a lot of people are following that. I know the co-op, Shipwrights Co-op, really effective at doing a lot of Facebook stuff, Twitter stuff. And you may want to think about getting into it. It's expensive because you have to have somebody monitoring it.
You have to have an IT person.
Well, somebody that's blogging and somebody that's tweeting all the time. And
that's been a big topic between the ports and some of the conferences because there's still some legal issues being a public entity subject to public records requests.
Oh.
And when you get into some of these media venues like Facebook that are constantly changing, and suddenly you get a public records request saying, I want all your Facebook entries for the last 6 months.
They have technology now that can
do that. But again, you got to buy that and need somebody to monitor it. So is that one?
NSA can do it?
NSA can do that.
They need money.
Well, anyway. is it a definable expense, Jim?
Yeah, I think we can get together a proposal. There's a couple of people in town that are really good at it.
Ah.
We could actually put together a system for us.
A system of electronic media?
Yeah, electronic media. But I think it's the wave of the future. I mean, I know I use electronic media to make all my decisions now. I don't go to the phone book. I don't go to magazines anymore. So I think we need to have a bigger presence on bigger than our website.
Well, getting back to the issue at hand from a budget standpoint, I guess I'd recommend is we just, keep the boat shows in there, budget for those costs. And then as these things are explored, they're not going to happen between now and time you have to adopt the budget in November.
Right.
Well, one thing that I kind of think about is that we've got this expense that we didn't have last year for the boat show and we're incurring this year. And so it would be useful, I think, to see if that expense pays out. And I'm not sure how we'd be able to get information from the boat yard and from the trades to see, did that exposure actually increase or do anything to their business? I mean, they're the reason we're doing it. They asked us to go there again, so we are. But if we're doing it and it's not doing any good, it's a lot of money that we can put other places.
You almost have to have every business ask every customer, why did you come here?
Mm-hmm. And I used to see that on all, how did you hear about this? It's on a lot of things.
So much of it is institutional advertising, just getting the name out. It's not a direct retail type advertising where come to the boat show and get a 10% discount. It's more Port Townsend's in business.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to quantify the results from all this money that we're spending and time. It's a time commitment, too, to go there.
Well, we would be open to any suggestions you had.
I just don't know how to go about it.
We'd have to, say, offer a 2% discount on all outs and RV stuff if you say that you, if you tell
the staff. It would have to be a certificate that you...
If you told the port
staff... out at the boat show.
Yeah. If you told the port staff that,
Yeah, but if you just...
But then...
On word of mouth, then I'd say, I heard the... Even though I never went to
the show. The ticket to give out would be an idea. But then if they turned that ticket in, we'd know that they...
Even if they just heard about it from a friend at the boat show, the fact that it was at the boat show and they heard about it would make that an effective thing, even though the guy didn't go there. So that would be another useful thing to
be hard to monitor unless they turn
a questionnaire in the back of the
coupon. You almost got to have a physical coupon or some sort that is an original that can't be duplicated kind of thing that I give to you at our booth in Seattle, and 3 months later, you come in and give it to the mortgage clerk for mortgage or the yard office for all out.
What I'm getting at is if you had it be a boat show discount, even if the guy didn't go to the boat show, but he heard about the boat show discount, how it went, that's still being an effective presence at the boat show. And if he came in and said, my pal says you have a boat show discount, then that would be just as useful as having the guy actually go there. Then we'd know that that boat show actually paid off. So it doesn't need to be, it just could be, in order to get the thing, you have to say boat show discount, and then they'd know.
What we found out when we lowered rates was pretty interesting. we found out that we lowered the rates, people were going to come here anyway. So we just had more people and lost more money.
Remember, we did a 50% discount haul out, so we lost 20-some thousand dollars and then gained an extra load.
Yeah, I mentioned that to someone the other day, and they said, well, you did that at the peak of the recession, and so you're not going to notice any results from that. So they were suggesting we try it again, not at the peak of the recession, but I don't know how many times you need to try it and lose money before you figure out that you're just doing what you said and give a discount.
What you could do is raise rates 5% and then do your boat show discount for a 5% discount. You'd have to start here. You wouldn't want to start here and give a 5% discount. But that way, anybody that said, hey, boat show said to give me a 5% discount, give that to them and not lose a bunch of money.
I don't think there is any way to quantify the benefit of exposure.
I have heard that people have said, because we haven't been at the boat show for 2 years, what's wrong with Port Townsend? How come we're not at the boat show?
Have they gone out of business?
So that's an institutional thing. That's just, hey, we're still here for you. And that's important.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important.
Well, we got a booth. We'll be there. So again, on the budget, we'll just kind of fill those numbers in there, plan for it, and maybe during the year explore some of these other marketing ideas and what those cost.
You know, there's always the air show that you all of the pilots have asked why we don't participate in it.
We did 1 year. And I manned the booth the whole weekend, and I don't remember talking to more than about 10 people that came by the booth.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with airshow marketing is there's no land. We don't charge to land. So literally, we can do all the marketing in the world and get 50,000 people to come, and we won't make another cent. So what's our goal there again?
Charge to park overnight.
Charge what?
Charge to park overnight.
Tie down fees?
We do.
Entice people to,
well, we do, right,
to come and rent than simply hangar development and, you know.
Yeah, once again, it's hard to quantify that one.
The airport's perilously close to breaking even, you know, so how much does it take?
Yeah, we got to be careful. Yeah, we don't go into the black.
So how would that stimulate hangar rentals? People would rent, come here.
Exposure, I mean.
Yeah, but the people from Puyallup, why would someone from Puyallup rent our hangar here?
No. This is the Northwest. I mean, this is the Northwest kind of trade show for aviation. There's really only two in the region. There's that one in Puyallup, which is in May, I want to say. And then there's Arlington, what used to be the EAA show at Arlington in July, mid-July.
Isn't it early, like February or something?
March, maybe it's
March.
Yeah. March, but it's one of those.
Seventh of February.
Starts with a hill.
It's been a few years since I've been over there for it, but it's a true trade show. It's all vendors and all the nifty gadgets, a lot of airports.
It is, and what you need to market there is the airport facilities in the region that you're in. And, you know, I keep saying this to people, that this airport and this community with this airport is just a gem. And it's hidden away.
So you're marketing it to people with the intent that they'll move here? Or
People move here, move businesses here, come here and spend money in town, come here and stay overnight and pay tie-down fees,
mm-hmm.
Money, you know, come here and get services done at BJ's and Tommy's.
It's a facilities improvement situation.
But it's it's an economic development driver that, mm-hmm. that untapped.
Yeah, it's just kind of small when you compare it to some of the other ones we got going. But it's nonetheless needy of promotion.
So we'll get the flyers probably in January.
It's exposure, just like.
Yeah.
Just like.
The
yep.
The
marina. Yeah, just like, it's just like going to the boat show.
And I don't know that you get, you know, if somebody comes and sails into town and ties up and has lunch and leaves, you don't get money for that.
Sure, we do.
Yeah. Every tie-up.
We have a temporary tie-up.
$5, right? $5, the same as the tie-down.
Same as the tie-down.
So is that what
it is? Yeah, but I know lots of people that fly into our airport and launch their little bicycles and ride up and down. It's amazing the amount of people that do stuff like that. Yeah, so it would be. You know, it would be nice to have our name in some of these functions that our airport function.
You might get volunteers to help staff.
Yeah, because we're coming to you directly.
Yeah.
but there, you know, there does seem to be some concern down there at the airport, more than we've seen in a while. I think we would get volunteers.
And not just Eric.
I don't know if he'd volunteer. I think I'd volunteer to pull the whole ship myself. All right. Then there's a couple of specific things that I'd like to get some guidance on. One is the marina room issue that came up recently. We got that letter from two gentlemen that heard that we were going to start charging for the marina room, even if you brought, if they were an RV club.
Yeah.
Fun club.
Hmm?
The fun club.
The fun club.
Yeah.
Right. And that if we were to charge for the marina room, they wouldn't come again.
That was the threat part of the letter.
That was the threat part. Yeah, and the issue with the marina room is we have been giving it out for free to large groups. But there's a cost associated with that. And you know, do we want to start charging or not, or increase the parameters that you've got to have 30 vessels or something like that to qualify? Or, you know, I promised the guy that we would take a look at it during the budget process, so carrying out.
You know, I ran into another question about that when I was manning the booth at the boat show, or at the festival. And one group was interested in using it, but the anglers had it reserved. And I don't, you know, I asked her, well, do you think the anglers are using it all day? And I think it's just for a meeting. And it seems to, if the anglers want it for an hour or two, then it's not available for the rest of the day or something.
Is that the way it is?
Not necessarily.
No, it's not.
Well, they said they couldn't double book it in the same day.
Well, that could be. A lot of groups want it all day, and the anglers do have it for 2 hours. It's, we've never excluded people from using it in the daytime if the anglers
use it. Well, this group said that they couldn't get the use of it at any part of the day because the anglers were using it.
You have to
check it. I've never seen that.
It would be if one group wanted it all day and somebody had it booked for 2 hours, then they'd have to work around each other's schedules.
Yeah, maybe we do that all the time.
That seems reasonable.
We've got 2 or 3 events in there in a day all the time. So yeah. I don't know what
they're doing. Well, couldn't get out.
And what's the policy right now for charging that?
Well, the policy right now is anything over 30 vessels, or 30 nights, excuse me. So if you're there 2 nights, it's 15 RVs or boats. Get it for free. But what was happening is we were getting in a bidding war with the Maritime Center, the city, and Legion. Where they would go and say, well, I was going to bring my meeting to the Maritime Center, but the port would give me the room for free. And it just got into this nasty back and forth, and I decided there needs to be some kind of charge. And looking through all of the notes and the minutes, the commission has never approved free use of the marina room. I don't know where that came from, but it's just kind of been legendary.
They used all along that when we inherited Point Hudson, so, this guy came along.
I said, you know, we need to go, what our rules and regulations say is there's a charge. So that's what we're going to do until the commission tells us, no, we're going to give this away for free.
No.
Could we get a survey of the rates that the other facilities are charging?
Like the, what I thought's a good compromise.
The Yacht Club and the BMW.
Is Terry and I talked about possibly having a nominal fee. So it's $50 if you have a group in the thing. No way, it's not a lot of money for 30 people to pay $50 to use the room. But it's something, because our normal rate is $150 a day. That is high. So we're planning on coming back with a draft policy that we'd like you guys to look at.
The normal rate is $150 a day for the marina room?
Yeah, if somebody wanted to do a wedding in there.
That's on a rate card. So that's a rate that's just approved, $150
a day. Do we rent it out that very much?
Yeah, that's somebody, no boats, no RVs, they just looking for a meeting space to do a wedding reception, whatever. And I think that's pretty cheap compared to some of the other, if you have to go to the Maritime Center or something, charge a lot.
Well, it's not real luxurious, though.
So is that for a whole day or for what?
Whole day. One of the issues we have is cleaning between. You know, if we've got somebody in there on Thursday and somebody's in on Friday, I got to get clean, stock the restrooms, and there's a cost associated with that. So free is not a good answer unless we're feeling we're getting enough revenue from the group to offset the fee of doing it.
There certainly needs to be a cleaning deposit of some sort from everybody.
So what was...
If you leave it clean, we'll give you the money back. If you don't, we're keeping the money to cover the cost.
The group that was complaining, what was the amount they were complaining?
$150.
Well, yeah. They have been getting it for free. They've been for 4 years. Terry told them that we're looking at a policy change, possibly charging for that. The guy said, how much is that? And Terry said, well, our normal policy is $150. But we don't set the rates. You all do. So that's what said this gentleman.
I think that letter would have been a whole lot easier to discuss without that threat.
It's standard operating procedure.
Well, no, it's not. You could enjoin a discussion without having a threat hanging over your head,
right?
Every day of the week,
or offer a counter, you know, that would be happy to, you know, 75 would be, you know, what we could handle.
Yeah, that threat thing, I think, kind of.
Yeah, $150.
I'd like to take the policy of we don't ransom hostages on that one.
Well, the other thing is these RVs are, you know, pretty substantial RVs. And you spread $150 out over 21 RVs. We're not talking a lot of money here for
well, the group that I was talking to, they were going to be here for 3 days. So they didn't get it for one day because the anglers were there, but they got it the other 2 days. And I don't know if they're paying or not.
Some people want to set up in there, and that's their space for 3 days. Yeah, that makes it tough. We can't use it for anything else if there's stuff sitting there.
Yeah, we had like when the Nordic Tugger Rendezvous was at Point Hudson, they wanted it for the whole weekend because they had different classes. You know, the manufacturer was there to talk about maintenance on the boat. And they had their social thing and their auction. And, you know,
well, I think we're kind of bound by, you know, a code of conduct with the city and the Maritime Center and everybody else's facilities too. Put it on a level playing field, at the very least.
I'll get you the price range of what's available and how much they charge.
Yeah, that'll be
interesting. Well, you know, I have to keep coming back to the fact that it's really difficult to get free spaces, and sometimes free spaces are necessary for things like when I was teaching boating classes. You know, the Washington Department State Parks supplied the materials, but they said you're on your own as far as going out and finding a place to do it. And of course, we're all volunteers, and people in Washington State need boater education courses if you're a certain age, and so it's like a requirement. But trying to find a place where you can do it, where people could go, is really, really hard. And so I think that the fact that we are supported by public taxpayer money, that we need to have some way of getting some things that you just can't get money out of to have it be available for the community. I'm not sure, and having said that, I don't know how you discern between.
We have done that. I mean, right. The anglers, for instance, they have a deposit up file. That's water activity. We also do that for the Marine Trades Association. They can use our facilities at no charge. Mm-hmm. So anything that has to do with local marine, these are visitors who really, you know, should be paying. Something.
Right.
If it's associated with port business, whether it's pilots, boats, RVs, we have no issue with that. know, it's like Jim just says, the outsiders, it's the other, I know there's a lot of nonprofits in town, but they're not associated with activities in any way, and I personally don't think we should be giving it away just as the community asset, because, you know, our tax money doesn't go to this, our tax money goes to infrastructure for economic development, so this is a cost that's drawing down from other activities and facilities, revenue that's available. And I'm not sure legally we can. Yeah, we can make a legal case that if it's, you know, Moore's Tenants Union, the Marine Trade Association, Files Association, we can tell the auditor that this is de facto port business. And, but if, I don't know, the Rotary Club wanted to use it without charge, I don't know if we could do that.
That's where we kind of need a policy, right?
So something like half a loaf, like calculate what the costs are to clean up after a group. Have the $150, whatever the established rate is, and then some discount per port related visitor. You know, so if it's $150, $1.50 per port related visitor off. So at least the port has some skin in the game for getting some of that money back, and they have a floor that covers the costs.
So I like the nominal fee. Like I said, $50 is a great nominal fee. It covers the cleaning costs, covers staff time. So in essence, the room is free, but at least there's a cost associated with managing, and it doesn't break the bank. But we'll more to that when we can rate some fees with you all. We'll do a whole presentation.
Well, you know, they promised these two guys to bring it up, so he did that. The other one, Dave's not here. You want this one? You want to take a quick break or something?
Sure, I think I'll go join Dave.
We got one more topic. I don't know if I...
Really? Yeah, I'm not.
Too much information.
That's right. I'm going over here.
So how was the WashDOT Aviation?
It was interesting. About they're doing a series of four of these around the state. They're going to Wenatchee next, and Spokane, and I think over to Pasco. It was a good update. In fact, yeah, maybe next year you or whoever might not be a bad idea to go down with me. There's about 15 airports represented. A lot of them were, you know, small private airports, but you know, Port of Olympia was there, Port of Shelton, et cetera, and us. They went through various updates from the land compatibility issues, which I was happy to see that they're finally getting out and going to the city and county organization conferences to talk about airports as public facilities. How you must protect them. And they had some terrible examples, you know, aerial photos of airports where you've got just hundreds and hundreds of homes built right up
to the runway.
To the runway. It's just, you know, ridiculous. And, or, you know, the county puts in a sports complex off the end of the runway, you know, softball fields, soccer fields, and, you know, but it just boggles your mind, you know, it's the last thing you want. Large crowds, and under a glide path.
I had a friend killed by one of those sports fields.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened. Yeah.
You know, he just had a power out on takeoff, and they had built a sports field in Oakland, right in,
yeah.
in that safety zone.
Yeah.
And well, so he ended up in a mud flat. And,
yeah. Well, it's all the lights and glares, you know. That was evening ball game, they turn all those lights on, you know, blacken the pilot trying to land. So other than that, they went through, they got their typical updates to their grant application process. And so I went through that. And they had, you know, some FAA updates, and it was just a good session. The trouble is, the closest one does is Tumwater, so it can still fill the whole day and drive it down. And it wasn't too far.
Yeah, that's what we need, and it is an airplane. We ought to put that in our budget.
Well, that's the other thing. Right now, the Wausau Aviation headquarters is over in Arlington. Their lease is coming up next year, and they're negotiating. No. But they're negotiating with Port of Olympia to relocate to Port of Olympia there. Yeah, they need to be, I don't know why they went to Arlington to start, but they really need to be near Olympia, because when the legislature's in session,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be up there with all the legislators. So it's a good session.
So are those open to the public, or are those?
Yeah, because there are some consultants there, too. Cool. I tell you, talk about Taj Mahal, that building, Wausau and the state correctional. You know, one people run all the state prison systems in this building, huge building.
Yeah,
this way it's going to do. Next topic is the idea was floated about a some sort of historic vessel rate.
Yes.
You know, we've got, you know, some years ago, the commission adopted a nonprofit policy and application, of which we've had two entities submit. One, the Adventurous, the other one was the Wooden Boat Building School. And we denied the boat building school one, but did report to the Adventurous, where, you know, we don't charge, you know, certain rates, we charge, you know, lower rates and that sort of thing. We don't charge the full length of the vessel when it's in the yard, that sort of thing. But do we want to, instead of doing that, just have a historic vessel rate itself?
Any ideas on how we
went back and forth, head shakes?
Yeah, how would you determine a historic vessel?
Yeah.
Well, that would, you'd have to come up with parameters. You know, is it going to be 50 years or older, or, you know, what constitutes a historic vessel?
Kind of like classic plates on a car, huh?
Yeah, you know, the state has it, you know, for vehicles. And I think it's 25 years?
30.
Yeah.
Is it 30? Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know from a boating perspective, we did a rough check in the boat haven of wooden boats.
Yeah, the Lotus would probably like a deal. The Lotus would probably like a deal.
The Lotus would probably be the only one qualified. It's on the National Historic Register.
Schooner Martha.
Are they on the register? I don't think they are.
Well, but they're old, aren't they?
I know, I'm just
saying. Yeah, that would have to be your parameters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like historic buildings have to be 50 years or older and on the historic register. So, but I don't know if it's something you'd want to bother with, or I don't think there'd be a lot of takers on it. You know, most of the wooden boats in the boat haven are far less than that.
Yeah, I had someone bring up the fact that it shouldn't just be historic, it should be wooden. And I'm like, now that'd be kind of hard, because when I go to the wooden boat show, the first place I go is to Sam Devlin's corner, and if you look at that, it doesn't look like it's wood at all. In fact, it's mostly fiberglass with wood on the inside. So it'd be a difficult distinction to make, but I think more appropriate would be the historic vessel.
Yeah, I got a 49-year-old fiberglass boat.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If it's going to be historic, they have a lot of steel boats that are pretty darn old. So, of course, I think it's too hard of a nut to crack. I think our current process of the nonprofit application, you know, so you can handle the Marthas and the Adventurous and those type vessels. But if somebody's looking for cheap mortgage, I'd rather just
it's like, you know, a boat that's really pretty gets a discount. So So who gets to decide?
Yeah.
Well,
that's the problem. Who gets to decide?
Exactly. And we start to run afoul of the Corps of Engineers, the federal law, that since we use federal money to build a marina, it has to be open to all on a fair and equal basis. And you can't, if you want to have different rates, it's got to be very narrowly defined, like active commercial fishermen get a different rate, you know, or historic vessels, then you have the parameters what qualifies as a historic vessel. We could probably get that qualified. But,
well, it would be, you know, within our mission statement, which is to preserve maritime heritage. I think what we need to explore this further is a definition of what vessels would be considered part of preserving our maritime heritage. And perhaps the people that have asked for this could help us define that.
Port of New York, I didn't bring it with me, actually has a pretty interesting policy. They have a historic vessel policy.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be on the historic register. It has to be totally, you know, yacht shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a whole 10-point criteria.
Kind of like buildings.
But I can provide that for you. Put it in Dropbox for you so you can read.
Sure, we need to start somewhere with defining what this is, because I think, like you said, Larry, that nonprofits we've been able to do, and as long as we're narrowly defined, then we should be able to stay within the parameters of our Corps of Engineers requirements and all the rest of them.
The other question that was asked of me, what do you do with vessels like the Lady Washington that are new construction but built rented?
Well, we just exclude it.
Yeah. And again, I would say we can handle those type vessels because they're all nonprofits and they can apply under the current system.
Yeah.
You know, if they can make their case.
But it'll be a cold day in hell. They're based out of Aberdeen or Grays Harbor area or something.
And they've never approached us at all.
Right.
They have full rate, no questions. But, I guess the issue is, you know, what if a private citizen built a vessel as a replica? You know, would they get some sort of discount?
There's some. Yeah. There are some, at least in aviation, I know there are some exemptions in law for taxes and things like that. But generally, the regulation is that, you know, it has to be some for the, there has to be some public benefit for giving this public bodies blessing to this.
Yeah. But that's really
the way it's done. The way it's done, and that is that the aircraft has to be a certain age, and it has to be available for public viewing so many times a year. So you don't just get somebody's, Hitler's yacht that's stowed away in a boathouse someplace that's getting a benefit. It has to be something that the public gets some benefit from, having the public giving this owner a discount on his private vessel.
I think I'm on the topic as far as the budget goes.
What about capital items to be looking at?
Well, that, as I told everybody before, I was going to go around all our facilities. I was down here at Goldstein Health yesterday afternoon, taking pictures, stop at Mats, be doing Gardner next. I didn't do it last year, but previous years I've always done a white paper, a budget white paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 4, 5, 6 pages long, kind of walking through all of our facilities and just giving you my assessment of the issues and that sort of thing. And at the end, kind of coming up with a little bit of a recommendation. And that's what I plan on doing. And my plan is to have that for the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
So, but again, having walked all the docks in the boat haven, every lineal foot, every finger, a couple of weeks ago, and having walked the same thing down here at Quilcene, Quilcene is at right now the top of my list for dock repair. Now, how much of a dock repair do you want to do? It's the question.
Which we'll discuss in our afternoon meeting?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be some more people well seen here. So are we going to broach the boat ramp part of the redo?
Well, here? That's kind of, you know, in the... I was quoted in the paper the other day. I said those words on purpose to stir a little interest. You know, I think we need to embark on a mini strategic plan, if you will, for South County.
And right.
Even include Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we made a foray. I really tried hard with Fish and Wildlife, and I had most fish of the people concerned with Fish and Wildlife in agreement with me to take over their ramp down by Pleasant Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new ramp, real nice parking lot, restroom, etc. Because they were having a hard time maintaining it. Their budget cuts. And we have no facility south of Wilson. But, you know, the powers to be higher up, you know, were too reluctant to give up any facility, kind of state parks. You know, rather than, you know, looking at something with common sense, saying, well, here we got another government, it'll still be open to the public, saying people can still use it, but we don't have to pay for it now. They're just trying to keep everything under their own umbrella. So, yeah, we need to look at that again. I think they're willing to revisit that now. That was about a year and a half ago. Right? I think Cool Scene in general, the marina, the boat ramp, Wally Peterson's property, what's that, like 24 acres?
Right.
Yeah, you know, we need to come up with a concerted plan for Quilting.
Well, I think they would appreciate that.
It's not something you're going to do in one town hall meeting.
No.
It's,
no, there'll be some different approaches to it.
I think we're going to find, just like we have found at the airport, there's those that, yeah, we want AWOS, we want GPS, we want to, you know, make this the best airport ever. And then others just, you know, leave us alone. We want to drink our coffee at the Spruce Goose and look at the mountains, and that's it. You're going to find the same thing in Wilson.
Were you talking this boat ramp or podium?
No, I was thinking it would be a good time to broach the topic initially. Perhaps before we spend a whole bunch of money rebuilding docks and stuff, say, well, if you really want all these docks, you want to have half docks and half really nice boat ramp, because I think half docks might support the people that want to stay at docks.
If
boat ramp.
But if you go down to Gold Scene right now, down the marina, there's 10 boats in the ramp. Yeah.
And it's primetime summer boat.
I have a feeling we go over price this month.
Well, that's something we probably should have brought up as part of the budget.
We're going to talk about it this afternoon, but I'm thinking that this market can't bear port down rates.
But then at the same time, I'm not sure. You know, a lot of the voters that are active are trailer voters. So that would lean towards, well, let's do what we can to improve the boat ramp. Yeah, I'll go after some grant money. It might be a 2 or 3 year process, but let's make a state-of-the-art boat ramp and nice parking and all that. Or if we find out there are enough voters, you know, how many are there and what are they willing to pay and what can we support in the way of slips?
Because we were full 2 years ago.
You were or we weren't?
We were. Yeah, and the rates were lower.
2 years ago.
Then after we get the grid, it's an expense. It costs money. Raise them 4,000 rates, and that's when.
And that had been a long-standing mission directive, though, because it was silted in so bad, even small trailer boats had a hard time getting marina that. Boat side. You know, it would actually ground all the floaters up. But once we dredged it, then we ought to charge the same rates as the boat haven. And we had some pressure from the boat haven folks saying, well, why are you giving cheap mortgage to these guys? You know, not to us. So we did that. And what you're having, I think, a lot of trailer boaters in the boat in during the summer. You know, it was cheap enough to rent the slip rather than hassle of going back and forth to home. So, but those are all discussions. It might be a couple of year process to really wrestle that. But at some point, we've got to look at it. So, the other topic
is just an update on the airport runway. In about 60 minutes, they should be closing the runway to start the rehab project. Notam was submitted. Reed Middleton wrote it up. Sue submitted it. The Pilots Association has put it out very explicitly, the times, because we're going to close it and reopen it for the weekend, and close it again, and then reopen it for the next weekend, and then we should be done with the project after that. Looks like the weather will be good, so hopefully they'll knock a couple of days off the project itself. But if you remember, we thought we could do it in a week, but then the FAA gave us more money. So instead of just the runway and parallel taxiway, we're now doing the entire tarmac up by the scoops. And that's routing out all the cracks, getting all the grass that was growing out of there, and refilling the cracks, and then doing the new seal coat. And then we'll have to come back at a later date and do the striping. And the striping, they can do it pretty quick, but it's a two-stage process. They do one coat first of paint. Then they come back with a second coat, and they spread glass beads, little micro beads that are highly reflective at nighttime. So we don't have that date yet, but I just want to let you know the process. You might want to go out there and just watch them over the next few days. So, is there anything else on the runway you wanted to?
No, I mean, I you should be aware, and you probably will hear, that there are a lot of folks and pilots that the weather is nice and they're not going to be able to fly for 2 weeks. So we've gotten quite a few calls that they want us to do this in the winter. And
can't do asphalt.
We can't do asphalt in the winter, so you got to do nice weather. But unfortunately, the weather is so nice, a lot of pilots think they should be flying instead of hangar bound. So we did open it on the weekends for them. We promised the Spruce Goose would open on the weekends so they could have traffic. But you might be hearing about it.
So with that in mind, did you hear about any disgruntled trailer boarders when they couldn't use the washdown and
right
in the middle of fishing season?
Yeah, we did hear quite a bit.
Mark Grant and Bill Levitt had a couple of complaints. They said,
for the most part, yeah. Okay.
I talked to an elderly couple yesterday that were washing down a boat, they were, this was great, they were fine. The only problem they had was they didn't catch anything.
So the weather forecast for next week is looking pretty wet, from what I heard.
And that's the problem with this project. It could be delayed.
Yeah. If it's raining one day, I can't.
The FAA won't let us open the runway without a center line. All the other painting doesn't have to be done without a center line. We can't open it. So.
Well, when it rains, do the pilots could complain?
Yeah, this is going to give us a really nice runway surface for the next 8 to 10 years.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's just like the boat ramp improvements. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but boy, you got a state-of-the-art facility. It's going to last you a long time. And the only other thing with it is the FAA will not fund restriping Jefferson County. On the tarmac in front of the Spruce Goose, there's big letters that, you're in a plane, read Jefferson County. They don't do that on everything. We can do it at our own cost, but...
Where Jefferson County could.
None of us have that extra $10,000 to throw at this thing.
Yes, it'll black.
Yeah. It'll just be black. You gotta know where you're flying to. So
Jefferson County Pilots Association.
If you're up for it.
I mean, there's precedent. I mean, a lot of airports have the 99s or famous with their compass roses.
Pat Shannon is volunteered to paint the semicircle.
Segments.
Your segments.
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay. We'll provide the paint.
Just don't, if you want to do Jefferson County, just spell it properly and have the right side letters.
Make Jeffco.
Jeffco or, it's going to be a nice project. It's good that the FAA can't do with extra money at the end.
What is the stuff they put down, Jim?
Where?
On the runways.
So we're using a new poly seal, it's called. It's a new, it's not an asphalt, it's poly seal. So they're going to route out all the cracks.
Yeah.
This new poly seal goes in. After that's all done, it's leveled, and then they have they're using a water-based sealer on the whole thing. So two coats of black water-based sealer on it. and then the strike.
Well, the other thing, once they brought it out the cracks, they have to go through with a weed killer.
Well, they did that earlier. No, they did that Monday.
Did they? Okay.
So all the weeds have been killed on Monday, and now they're starting.
I thought they would spray it in the open crack.
Did you?
So they haven't rubbed it in the cracks yet.
Oh, I said no.
Good.
They just sprayed the top.
Yeah.
So they put some kind of epoxy in the cracks, and then they cover it with water-based emulsion for sealing the surface.
Everybody says water-based is working a lot better than the tar-based, which is great for us because we drain right free. So from an environmental point of view,
right,
water-based paint is much better than a...
Well, they've done some tests. I saw some photographs where they put this down in parking lots, you know, gone back every year taking photographs and everything. It's held up pretty well.
Huh.
All those things, technology keeps moving. So, but the next project that the FAA is going to want to do will be a big one.
The resurfacing of the runway?
A whole new runway. They'll be able to field asphalt and relay it.
Scheduled 2017.
And we don't know yet whether they want to do the crown or the slope or whatever.
That's one of the issues. Yeah. In fact, I brought that up in the Wausau Aviation meeting.
But if you're tearing up the whole runway, it won't matter whether it's crown or shed.
Well, it will be.
Well, it does.
Actually, but just we'd have to put in a whole other drainage system on the south side, crown, with ditches on the side. So it'd be another several hundred thousand dollar expense.
If you're done there.
So. Yeah. So.
We did get the best contract. It was the lowest price. So Metro Northwest is the number one airport contractor. West Coast, so he had the best price. So our engineers are really excited that they're working with Metro North.
So they're in Oregon.
Both bids came from Oregon, Portland area.
Yeah. For some reason, they congregated down there. Is there anything else we need to bounce off the commission?
Were you going to mention the ESAC response?
Oh, just yeah, Steve, we were talking with Steve yesterday. Bertram had asked about the commission response to the PSAC comments.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric's been drafting that. There is a rough draft. He's on vacation right now. So what I suggested was at the next workshop, Eric be here to present that to you.
Oh.
It's really your response, and Eric's a little uncomfortable. Yeah, he'll need your input.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So the next workshop would be another month away, right?
Right, second.
Yeah.
In October. Mm-hmm. And we'll send it out to you electronically before the workshop so you can read it.
Yeah. We should probably send a letter to all the members of the PSAC and indicating that we didn't just forget about it. It was 3 months ago that they did that. Some of the guys have the nose bent out of shape. We didn't bother to respond. Maybe just say, you know, people are on vacation and we have to get a response built. And
you get all their emails too?
I should.
File drawer somewhere on the truck.
Well,
that's the other thing. Speaking of the file drawers, met with Mark Grant yesterday and walked the building site, and he assured us that we can move the furniture in on Monday. And we'll do that. The downstairs, the floor has been sealed. The finished carpenter, theoretically, will be working diligently over the next several days to get all the trim work done. So Sue and accounting can move in and out. The upstairs, the painting was done yesterday. They're going to clean the floors, get all the sheetrock and dust and everything off, and they're going to seal that tomorrow and Friday. And we'll be able to move the furniture up there, but the trim work will probably still be done. So Jim and I will be free-floating for a few more days next week. The big thing is getting our, we've got to pay our bills here on Monday, pay the staff, so we'll get that done. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, move the telephone systems and the servers and all that, so we may be down again for a day next week. It really has to, you know, it's a little bit of a hassle, but it's really gone fairly smoothly.
Your girls did a good job.
Hmm?
Your girls did a good job.
I'm not allowed to say that.
Sex has come.
Of hucking stuff around?
Yeah.
Which is basically what you did.
moved all your own stuff?
A lot of it.
Well done.
Medical bills to follow.
Nicole, I'm going to expect to start that yesterday, so I should be up here for the next few days. That's it. We're going to do lunch here at the Timber House.
Okay, in that same big table we had before?
Yep.
Well, then I guess we'll meet back here at 1?
Regular meeting.
So I take it back.